Hallelujah. Come on and give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. My goodness, God is good. God is good. I know he's good. Don't nobody have to convince me that he's good. I know that he's good. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but my goodness. I'm coming to the understanding of what it means to be tried is like unto a fire. I feel like I'm burning up all the time. I don't know whether that's good or bad. Yeah, my goodness. Just trials and circumstances and situations. I was talking to the Lord this morning. I hear you over there, Gregory, be invisible. I was talking to the Lord this morning, and I was saying to myself, I said, Lord, I'm under attack. He didn't say nothing. I could stand up here and lie and say, he said, well, you'll be all right, but he didn't. I didn't hear a word. I said again, Lord, I know you heard me. I'm under attack. Nothing. So I opened up my Bible, and he spoke to me. He used his word to speak to me.
All
right. Instead of me waiting to hear something, I was waiting on him to come down, Rev, to come down and just tap me on the shoulder. I said, don't worry. Be happy. Everything going to be just fine. But I didn't get that tap, Brother Sean. So I had to trust in this word.
Yeah.
All right. My goodness. I've been having sinus problems and just keeping it going, not worried about it. Well, I got threatened Wednesday. So Tuesday night. So I left church Wednesday morning, and I went to the doctor to find out what was going on. And he said I had a sinus infection. And he said, man, how long you done had it? I said, I have no earthly idea. He said, well, how long you been suffering your sinus? I said, about a month and a half. He just looked at me like I was crazy. You just believe God. You don't know. You know, you just keep it moving. And you try to press. So then he get to checking other stuff. He said, you have a problem with that eye? I go, yeah, a little bit of blurry. He says, cataract. Man, bye. We are under attack. And, you know, I keep hearing all these messages about that we're under attack and we're being afflicted by the devil and by Satan, and I get angry because I know that's not so.
Right.
I know that I'm being afflicted and attacked from within. Mm-hmm. Right. He don't want me to worship God. He don't want me to serve God. He don't want me to serve God because he don't like God. I know y'all looking like, who he talking about? You know I'm talking about that old man.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Say he had enmity with God. The old nature had enmity with God. He don't like God. He hated God. Even Satan didn't hate God.
Right.
He loved God. He just wanted what God had. The old man hated God. You don't think his attitude didn't change, do you? Why do you think there's times in your life you don't want to have nothing to do with God? Feel like you've been shorted. I know you don't. I feel like that sometimes. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I feel like, Lord, where you at? How much more do I have to do to get you to talk to me? What is it that I need to do? I ask Dr. God all the time. God, what is it I need to do to hear from you? And then I was immediately hit with this word that Paul was saying in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. In the 7th verse. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn given. Wonder where it come from. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. If you did some studying and you looked up, I know you've studied this before, and you looked up the word thorn, it means, in the Greek, it means bodily annoyance. Or a disability. So, whatever this thing that was given to him came from within. My goodness, sinus is a bodily annoyance.
Yes, yes, it is.
I'm telling you, Sister Brenda, if I go to Sherry's house, I use the restroom at Sherry's house. By the time I get halfway here, I got to go again. That's a bodily annoyance. That's my prostate trying to resurrect itself. You ever seen that commercial with the little lady? She got the little heart-shaped thing that she followed her around all the time because she always got to go to the restroom. Let me see that. Every time you look up, the thing going, tapping her on the side, we got to go. That's an annoyance. These things that we suffer in our bodies are annoyances. Paul said that it was given to me. I know all about that. Baby, listen to what I'm going to tell you. When God first started revealing to me about the old nature and the effects and the manifestations of it and how much it controlled our thoughts, our ideas, and our principles, I thought I had something. I'm like, oh my goodness, God done gave me a revelation. Didn't nobody like it. Because at the bottom line, it said, it's time for the children of God to start accepting responsibility for their own actions. And stop putting it on their fathers, their mothers, their sisters, their brothers, even your enemies. Oh, it's quiet in here. He said, lest I should get overabundant in myself and think I'm all that.
Come on now.
Because of this word that God done gave me, because of this anointing that I have, because of this insight that I have, because of these gifts that I have, lest I get caught up in them.
Come on now.
I was given a bodily annoyance. In my flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Look at your neighbor and say, messenger.
Messenger.
Look at somebody else and say, messenger.
Messenger.
Oh, what is the word Satan translation? What does it mean?
Adversary.
I didn't hear you.
Adversary.
It means adversary. There was a messenger. Of the adversary.
Yeah.
Y'all quiet here today.
Come on now.
There was a messenger of the adversary that came to buffet me, to afflict me, to ridicule me. Here I am, this man of God, traveling all over the world, teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, raising the dead, casting out demons, cutting up my clothes, sending them off, and folks getting delivered and set free. And here I am. With a bodily annoyance. What the is going on here? He said, Lord, what you doing to me?
Yeah.
Why are you letting this happen to me? Lest I should be exalted above measure. Sometimes God got to let you know. That you can't get haughty.
Amen. Amen. Right.
I can't take it. I was like, Lord, I'm tired of this. This thing got old. Because see, I don't have the privilege of staying home. I had to get going. I'd be up in church. I had to sit in the corner by myself. They put me in the corner so I don't infect nobody, but I'm going to get here.
Amen.
I'm going to get here. And I'm going to cough and I'm going to yak and I'm going to sneeze and I'm whatever I got to do. Somebody told me once, you take this too far. I had surgery on a Tuesday for a hernia surgery. You know, back when I was getting hernia surgeries, they weren't as easy as they are now. Well, it just so happened that Pastor Hartman was out of town. There was no evangelist. Somebody had to preach Wednesday morning. I like to die, but I preached. And we had a great time in the Lord. At that time, it was across the street. We had to go up 8-9 steps. Well, Andy changed that. Brother Andy changed all that. Thank the Lord. He only had put 3 steps there. But that was before. God is telling us something. Whatever it is you're going through, you got to press your way through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you are a representation of who He is.
Yeah.
Paul says, "Except I be exalted above measure, I got to be careful up in here." But then he said, "But God did speak to me." He said, "For my grace is sufficient." You guys didn't hear that. You didn't hear that.
Come on now.
He said, "For my grace is sufficient." He didn't say, "Paul, I'm gonna deliver you of that bodily annoyance. My grace will get you through it." He didn't say, "Pastor Geiger, I'm going to deliver you of rushing to the bathroom all the time." I said, "But I prayed, Lord. My grace is sufficient."
Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're sick in your body. Your finances are tied up. Folks persecuting you, afflicting you. God didn't say, "Here I come." But what He did say, "My grace is sufficient." Why is His grace sufficient? Because love conquers all and a multitude of sin. And the word sin there is not translated sins, which means the works of the flesh. The word sin there is translated, you know, old nature. Meaning that God's grace is so powerful that He'll give us the ability that we can do all things through Christ Jesus that is strengthened us, that whatever it is that we're dealing with, it can't steal our joy.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
He said unto me, See, he got the right idea. I hope y'all learned from him. He ran to the altar. All he noticed was some steps when he got here, but he knew where to go. God's grace is more than sufficient. Will supply. It'll meet your need. The adversary, the accuser. Baby, I used to brag about that word God gave me. I learned fast, but Fred, everybody ain't going to be happy for you.
Amen.
Everybody wasn't happy for Paul.
Amen.
You know, every time he went someplace, they said, "Ain't that that man that was killing us?
Right.
Throwing us into prisons and dungeons?
On,
beating
now.
Us?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Man, I'm not finna listen to him. He ain't changed." I mean, guys, you done heard that. "He ain't changed. They still the same."
Amen.
But God's grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
Ooh, Lord Jesus. I said, "Lord, you said your grace was sufficient, but I still need your help." He said, "Your help is within you. Christ in you is your hope of glory."
Amen.
Why are you looking off and running off and everything and I'm here?
Amen. Amen.
I am your Emmanuel, God with us. God said, "For my grace is sufficient, and your sicknesses, your trials, your imperfections will make you perfect or strong. I'm perfect in your weakness."
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
A lot of times it's unfortunate we don't hear from God until we get into trouble. Or we sick. Or we just sick and tired. of being sick and tired.
Amen.
My goodness. You know what's embarrassing? We were at church Friday night. We went to visit the church. And I'm feeling good and enjoying the service. Was most of it. Yeah, honestly, most of it anyway. And sitting there, and I felt it. Sinus started to drain. And I'm going, can't get up because the man of God is up. Didn't it stop right in the center of my throat? Didn't I go from being happy to being miserable? Trying not to cough? Because once I started coughing, it don't stop. It don't stop until I get it up out of my throat. That's embarrassing. Folks moving? You want to just get up and say, look here, I'm not infected. I can't infect you. But you got to sit there. That's embarrassing. And I'm going, Lord, I'm sick of this thorn. I need to be delivered, set free. So I sat there and I closed my eyes, and it was just going, it was going, it was going. And I started saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on now. Come on now.
And it subsided.
Yes,
Lord. And God said, see, there's power in the name of Jesus. Guess what God said? That was my grace.
Yes.
It's sufficient. God said, my grace goes with you everywhere you go. You don't have to knock on a door to get it to come out to you. All you got to do is open up your heart and let it flow. And then he got another revelation. He said, well, since I figured it out, Lord, that your grace is going to have to get me through this, that you ain't going to come down and just reach down in me and pluck this thing out of me. I'm going to have to deal with it. So I'm going to look at it like this. I most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
now,
Lord.
Don't get it twisted. That don't mean you run around, I'm happy, I'm sick. Or I'm excited about having cancer. But that means whatever it is, you say, Lord, I don't like it, but I'm going to deal with it. Because I can deal with it because of you in me. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't know, Paul. Therefore, I take pleasure. I don't know about all of you guys, but I ain't got there yet. I'm working on it, Brother Little John. Ain't nothing been happy about this. But you can't let it stop you from pressing. Therefore, I take pleasure in my reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, and distresses. For whose sake?
Right.
You're not doing it to get a pat on the back. You're doing it so he can be lifted up. Because whether you realize it or not, everything that happens in your life has a purpose and an intent that God wants to use to glorify himself. You'd be amazed at the people that may be watching your life. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When I found out that this old man is the weakest in me, that's when Christ in me is the strongest.
That's right. Say that.
That's what he found out. So he's saying what he's saying in a nutshell, I understand why I got to go through this. Because it'll keep him down and it'll lift Jesus up.
Hallelujah.
This thing God gave me this. Go to this. You know, I don't usually do this, but we're going to do it today. As soon as I find it. Go to 2 Timothy.
I ain't contagious. Don't try to get mad at me.
But I got to say it. I'm so sick of folks saying the devil come to church. Flesh come to church and produce a spirit that's an adversary to him.
Come on, man.
Right.
Don't you know flesh don't be scared of no anointing? We had folks falling out across the street all on the floor and two people fighting in the second row.
Yeah.
That's what God was telling me. I'm trying to teach you something. Two people that normally hug and love each other, fighting. Folks falling out in the spirit all over the floor. They sitting there fighting. You know what I did? I laughed because I was preaching. I just started laughing. I said, I see you. I understand, Lord. I see it. I saw it. Because I'm looking at the power of God moving, but I'm looking at folks fighting. I said, oh boy, he don't care nothing about God, do he? Go to the 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. Believe it or not, don't y'all laugh, I'm about to close with this. I know what, Sean, I am so tired. This is what else he learned. The reason you know he learned it because he taught it to Timothy.
Right.
In the 2nd chapter, the 3rd verse says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you write in your Bible, but if you read the original writings, it doesn't say Jesus Christ. It says Christ Jesus, just like in the first verse. Because it's important. Jesus Christ is the Savior, the one that came that we might be saved. Christ Jesus is the one that died and rose again and now sits at the right hand of the Father, giving us all power.
Amen.
So, it would have to be Christ Jesus in order for you to have the power to endure hardness.
Amen.
I like watching them old combat movies. I mean, you know, like the original ones, like Vietnam and World War I and World War II that on the History Channel. And I'm looking at these guys and I'm getting messages because you see these guys out there so cold that they're getting frostbit. But guess what they keep doing? They keep marching forward.
You
see them crawling through the mud. Especially the Battle of Normandy and different ones where they were dying on the beach, but the one behind them, the one in front of them died, and they just walked over them and kept going, knowing that their life was in danger. When you are born again believer, your life is always in danger.
Amen.
But you have to keep moving. Soldiers, they crawl, they train in the mud and the cold and all kind of ungodly weather. They train. We're training. We're going through all kind of mud and we're traveling through all kind of pressures and all kind of storms in our lives we're dealing with. But God is preparing us for that corporate anointing that's about to manifest itself in the earth. So you have to make up in your mind, I don't like this, but I'm going to endure it.
Glory.
To endure affliction, to suffer trouble.
Yeah.
All he's saying is, don't be whining about what you're going through. Be strong. I love this. And very courageous. Brother Andy laughed. I end every program with that. I love that. You have to be strong and very courageous. Thou therefore endure hardness. Look at your neighbor and say, hardness. That's when everything around you is just so vexing, so overwhelming, so troubling that you sometimes just don't know which way to turn. You know Jesus is there for you. But then sometimes you need to hear a voice. Guess what we do when we need to hear a voice? We go find somebody.
All right. Yeah. Come on.
And the very person you find is like Job's friends. Spiritual, supernatural, all God-knowing, revelatory. And they will convince you that you're going through because somewhere down the line you done missed God. But all the time you realize that you and God have been walking side by side. Most times he was up under you. But when they tell you that, sometime during that day, Brother Williams, you're going to say to yourself, Did I make a mistake someplace?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have said what I said. Mm-hmm. Maybe I thought the wrong thoughts. Mm-hmm. Who do you think that is? Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask y'all a question. I'll be honest with you. When the power of God is moving in service, and you know you feel the sense of the Spirit of God, and you start thinking about them greens, or you start thinking about Red Lobster, yeah, is that the devil, or is that your belly? That's that old man. Because he wants to separate you from what God got for you.
Amen.
Come on. Amen.
So you have to endure hardness. That's a hard thing.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I've been sitting up there sometimes. How prayer, how these pastors be preaching. I'm all in. All of a sudden, I think I want some chicken. Years ago, I used to say, you dirty devil, leave me alone. When I start thinking thoughts like that, then I start saying, man, bye. Because he can't eat, but I can.
Right.
Yeah. So it's me that want the chicken. He just kind of floated that up there, Sister Vanessa, just floated it up there. You need some chicken. When the man of God preaching the word that's going to get me delivered from some of my hang-ups and my shortcomings, I'm thinking about some chicken. I know that don't never happen to y'all. So we have to endure hardness as a good, valuable, worthy soldier. Or guess what we are? Warriors.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We are warriors.
Like
that. That's what a soldier is, a warrior.
Yeah.
That means you've got to be active fight at all times.
Yeah.
Amen.
I blew by Rev this morning. I didn't know that was him. It was coming out 96. And I'm going, what's this in front of me? He got to move. It's 10 minutes to 9. I got to get going. So I get ready to get over. He jumps over. Now I don't know it's him. And I'm saying, what is he doing? First lady, she ride with her eyes closed. No confidence in the arm of flesh at all. Just riding like this. I say, you sleep? Nope. So I said, well, you know what? I'm just going to fall in behind him until we get off the freeway. So I falls in behind him. We just going. So we coming up. David said, now look. I said, hey, ain't that Ram? So we just pull up next to each other. I rolled my window. He goes, I was wondering who that. I said, who is that guy? He said the same thing I'm saying. Who is that? I said, Rev, you got to get out the way. But guess what he did? He used me like a truck. I was flying and he just got right on my bumper. I guess he figured we get pulled over, they gonna get you first. I knew what he was doing, but we had to get here. You don't know what position, what situation you're going to find yourself in. And you have to curtail yourself.
Yeah.
I'd have felt like about this big. If I'd have went to crazy old, get out the, and then pulled up and it was Red. I've been there before. Years ago, I told this old man off. When I got up beside him, I rolled my window down. I was going to yell some stuff at him. And he turned around, he looked at me and waved. He had a collar on.
Wow.
And I said, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Because this boy, it don't take much. Paul realized that. That's why he wrote the whole 7th chapter of Romans. Because he realized that there was something operating in his members against the law of God. There was another law operating his members against the law of God. that was trying to control him and kept separate him from God. So he wrote, he taught Peter, Peter, listen here, you've got to learn to endure hardness. People are not going to like you. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to persecute you. You're going to have problems going on in your body. There are going to be times you're not going to be able to eat. You're going to be scantily clothed. There's going to be trouble all around you. They're going to throw you into prison. Then you have to understand that the very person, people that you're preaching to are looking to try to figure out how to bring you down. You have to endure this and keep preaching and teaching the gospel, not just with your mouth, but with your lifestyle. No man that wars entangles himself again with the affairs of his life. I like looking up words because it changed the whole context of what the verse or what the scripture means. No man wars. No man, us, warreth, fight, war against, prosecute, persecute. After we have been through that, you don't want to get entwined. You don't, and I like it because it says entwines himself. You do it. You are the one that entwine yourself in your mess. I did. I didn't need any help, Sister Angela. I just did it. Because, I'm getting ripped. Because I figured God's grace was. So I get myself in the mess, and God's grace will get me out. God taught me something. He said, you got in it, sit in it. Guess what I did do? I got stronger. Because I come to an understanding that you did it, accept responsibility for it, and move on.
Amen.
When you accept responsibility for your problems, your situations, then you don't worry so much about what people think about you.
Amen. Amen.
Himself with the affairs of this life. I do this. I do this all the time. The word affairs means to negotiate in the Greek.
Yeah.
I negotiate with myself all the time. I negotiate with God. Well, Lord, if you do this, I'll do this.
Yeah.
Or how about if I did this? Would you do that for me? That was 20 years ago. I'm still waiting on an answer. It don't work that way, do it, Sister Nancy. God say, untangle yourself. Untangle yourself. Get out of the mess. So I started getting out of the mess. The affairs, the negotiations of this life, of your identity. Why? Because God, let me tell you something. God wants us to represent him in character and in nature. Only way you can do that is don't get entangled when you begin to negotiate what God owes you. Paul said, Lord, I know he wanted to say, Lord, look what I done for you. Look at the price I done paid. I've been shipwrecked. I've been without food.
Right.
I done traveled and was cold because I was scantily clothed. I got beat by my own countrymen. And they're not supposed to touch me because they Jews. But they beat me anyway. I've been robbed. You know the story. All kind of stuff happened to him. You know why he was saying that? Because other folks around him was persecuting him because they said they had been through more. How many people you know that say they've been through so much more than you have?
Yeah.
Which makes their anointing stronger than yours
right.
When the anointing is all the same.
Come on.
Say it.
If your anointing is stronger than mine, I'm going to move in with you. Because I want to do what you do to make it strong.
Yeah.
Jesus is the anointed one.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. I'm dropping stuff now. I'm closing for real. Affairs of this life, negotiations, transactions, that he may please him who hath chosen, thank you, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I get so tickled with these words. They excite me. Just one word will excite me. I got excited when I got the meaning of this word, who has chosen him to be a soldier. You know what? You would never think that just looking in the Webster, but the word chosen means enlisted.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't hear me, did you? It means enlisted. Just like being enlisted into the Army, the Navy, the Marines, whatever else we got. You've been enlisted as a soldier. Why? Because you've been bought with a price. You are no longer your own. So because you've been enlisted, that means if you got to crawl through the mud, you got to stand out there in the middle of the storm and give God the praise, that's what you got to do.
Amen.
My goodness, there's been times I've been so mad at God. You didn't have to let me go through that. You could have come right down and delivered me. Or laid on an operating table. Lord, I shouldn't even have to be on this table. You could have just took care of that. And Red, when I got through it, God said, how strong is your faith now? You go through what you go through so God can make you. Stop expecting people to understand everything you go through. Not only do they not understand, but they could care less, really. The church full of perpetrators. I love you. Stop lying. That's the kind of stuff Paul went through. He was feeling sad about it. Brother Paul, I'm so glad you started our church. He a heathen. He's still a killer. I come out of Hyde Park. I run into people. You know the first thing they say, Sister Brenda? Remember when we used to? No. No. We need to get together. 1300 East 7 Mile Road. That's where you get together with
him. Amen.
Don't let folks take you back.
Amen.
They kept trying to take Paul back. Make him revisit the things that he did. And it become a thorn in his flesh. Can you constantly being reminded of things that you did that were a detriment to the very church that you are now preaching to. But you know what else he realized? He realized that he was separated under God. I am Paul, an apostle. A servant of Jesus Christ. My Savior. So in spite of everything I've done, everything I went through, I'm still his servant. And I am determined that nothing will separate me from the love of God. Not you, not even me, not Satan. Nobody going to separate me from the love of God. Not my car. Not my house,
man.
Not my dog.
Man.
I don't have a dog. I can't clean up after me. Ain't no need of me getting no pet. I'm my own pet, Brother Freed.
Amen.
So endure hardness. And remember that your thorn in your flesh ain't to destroy you, but it's to create you.
Yeah.
To recreate you into the image and the likeness of our God. With a new nature, a new character, a new attitude, and a new disposition that will rise up to let folks know around you that you've been bought with a price and you're no longer that person that they knew, but you're now the person that God done formed.
Amen.
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 I keep it real with them though. Don't think I don't. You supposed to take this, you a preacher, man. I'll knock your head off. But you a preacher, yeah. My name is Dennis Gardner. Not Jesus Christ yet. I'm working on that part.
Come on now. Come on now.
So I know what I'm tolerable of, so I avoid them type of situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I avoid it. Paul said, you know what? God's grace is going to get me through this. And when I get through telling them this little thing I'm telling them, I'm going to avoid them. I think that's about the time he got rid of Timothy, too. Yeah. Sent Timothy away.
Yeah.
Got mad at Timothy. Oh, yeah, he got mad. Got mad at Timothy. But he's the same one that wrote, don't go to bed with anger, paraphrasing, with wrath in your heart or your spirit. Why? Because he experienced it. Stand, everyone stand. Let me tell you something. You are, whether you realize it or accept it or not, you are a living, breathing, walking epistle.
Yeah.
You are rewriting the gospel with your life.
Amen.
So make sure the words that you write in your book have the ability to be read and come on now. And used to the glory of God. Every trial, circumstance that you go through and you endure it as a good soldier, as an enlisted person for God, as a servant of Jesus Christ, you rewrite. You are a living epistle. Paul wrote the epistles, and every epistle's got something to do with his life, his experiences, his circumstances, his situations, his trials, his shortcomings, yes, his pains, his distresses, his agonies, his sicknesses, his hungers. It all has something to do with that. Why? Because he was writing epistles.
Amen.
You are writing an epistle. It's your life. But in order for you to write the book the right way, you've got to endure what you go through and realize that the grace of God is able to keep you and supply every one of your needs that you need, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial.
Yeah.
Amen.
You have to see beyond the natural and see over into the spirit.
Yeah.
And see what God has for you is for you. I remind myself constantly, what God has for me is for me. And I like that the best because I can't even get in the way of it. I done tried lots of times.
That's right.
I have definitely tried to hinder my anointing, hinder the ministry that God has placed in my life. And then cried and bellyache because I was there. God don't mind talking to me then. Man, you better grow up. How you gonna preach about maturity and acting like a baby? Make sure that the words that come out of your mouth have life.
Amen.
Yakama shetehi, ikoro bo shandari eke, ye kero bo shanda, yaka bo shi yandari yaka.
Did I not say in my word that the flesh profit nothing? The spirit is indeed willing. And yea, if you hold fast to that which I have put into thee, said God, yea, and that you will take it in. Yea, I will guide it out. Yea, it will go in the right direction. It will do the right thing. For my life is a reproductive life. And yea, if you speak truth, it reproduces truth. Yea, if you speak healing, it reproduces that healing, said God. And yea, if you speak joy and peace, it will reproduce as such. For I am that such, and I am that mighty God, Kobobo Shaka. I'm mighty in my people, yea, said God. So lift me up and declare my name in the earth. And yea, whatsoever I have spoken shall come to pass, said God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It will come to pass. Amen. But guess what? You will make it come to pass. I can't do it for you. You got to do it yourself. That's what I found. I didn't do it myself. But I can only do it through Christ. I tried to work it out myself. Found myself the ditch got deeper. Amen. So I had to really learn to trust in Him. My confidence in Him. Paul was saying, I'm going to show you. They was telling Paul, I'm going to show you my works. And Paul said, you watch my faith and you'll see my works.
Amen. Amen.
Let we'll first see folks see your works through your faith.
Yes.
Some of you in here have been through some of the most dramatic things that you could have ever been through. And you come through as soldiers of God. Don't you think that God won't reward you? He will. He's already rewarded you because you found a way to get through it. Amen. I understand why Pastor Hart started getting out of the way so he could just let me carry all this stuff in my head. You carry everybody's stuff in your head. Sometimes it affects your heart. Endure. You have to endure. Because you know what? We're going together.
Amen.
We're going together.
Amen. Amen.
I'm a little different. I'm just a little different. Everybody waiting on Jesus to come through the sky. I'm waiting him to come through my life. I need him to manifest himself in my life. Because if he manifests himself in my life, when he decides to come through the eastern sky, I know I'm not going to miss him. I made the mistake of praying, Brother Andy. Father, I fasted. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. Oh my goodness. You know what that meant? You got to die. Only one way to know him in the power of his resurrection, you got to die. And there's only one way you'll die, is if you go through things and you're tried, you're persecuted, you're afflicted, you have sicknesses, you have anxieties, your distresses. These things perfect you, mature you into the person that God had already predestinated and preordained that you become. If you look back over your life and you look at every step, God planned every part of your life. Your footsteps were ordered by God. To get you to this point in your life. Guess what? Don't stop here. Don't stop here. Keep moving, keep growing, keep maturing. Keep seeking God. Amen. It's easy to get lackadaisical about the things of God. But God wants us to stay on fire. he is a consuming fire.
Amen.
Come take somebody by the hand this morning. Come down, stand across the floor. My people, think it not strange the fiery trials that you are subjected to. For these trials are not to destroy you, but they are to envelop you, to develop you, and to bring you into the place that I have already predestined that you become. For I am raising up a body of believers in the midst of a church that shall honor me with their life. They shall honor me with their thoughts and their ideas and their principles. They shall lift me up in the midst of their trials and know that I am God. They shall glorify me when things are not going the way that they know they could have went. They shall praise me when things are just wax strong against them, when afflictions and persecution are overwhelming. They shall lift up their eyes towards heaven and say, Father, I know that my help cometh from you. So therefore, my children, be not dismayed or discouraged because the things that you're going through seem to be overwhelming, but understand that there is a purpose that I am working out in your life. And if you'll seek me, and I'll come in and I'll sup with you, and I'll show you all those things that you've been expecting, all those things that you've been looking forward to, and you shall see them, and you shall run this race, and you shall intercept them, because I shall give you the ability, the power, and the authority to call those things that are not as though they were, and you shall speak them into existence, saith God. Hallelujah. Stop. Years ago, I stopped praying for quantity, and I started praying for quality. I don't think I don't get beat up by it sometimes. I do. But when I can see that you're blessed and you're still fighting a good fight and you're pressing, then that means that it's been worthwhile. As things get better, the only thing that's going to get you through what you're going through is the Word of God.
Yeah,
I got news for you. I didn't tell you this. But our prophecies ain't going to get you through your trials.
Amen.
The word is.
Amen.
A prophecy is only as strong and as faithful as a person that trusts in it and believes.
Amen.
I've been around people that have traveled to Omaha and Oklahoma to get a prophecy to say that they're going to be all right. When the word was nigh unto them. Trust God. Trust in the word. Believe in the word. And God will consecrate you. Now is not the time to give up, but now is the time to fight. We are warriors of the cross.
Amen.
Say, where is your cross? It sins on my heart. And it manifests itself in the love of God. Found out that you can love anybody. You don't have to like what they do, but you still have to love them. And that means anybody. Ooh, we ain't gonna get into that one. Amen. So, what do? We love. And we trust God. And we endure. So that used to be a cuss word to me, endure. Because it represents put up with.
Yeah. Awesome.
You're tired of putting up with stupidity.
Yeah.
And ignorance. When it comes to the things of God.
Yeah.
then God will remind you, you were ignorant. And I put up with you. I guess you did, didn't you, Lord? He says, quiet is kept, I'm still putting up with you. I said, that's between you and me, God. You ain't got to be broadcasting that. Because God is good, he's faithful.
Yes, he is.
And most importantly, he's worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. Amen. God is using different people in different ways. God impressed Brother Little John. He built these altars that you're looking at. This week he come in with the tops for those chairs so that we don't have to get cut no more or scratched by the sharp edges of them. That's where God works. Amen. Different ones do different things. You do what you do. Reverend Grimm is starting a prayer line. It's just different things. Saturday morning rolled around, I'd be tired. Be wore out. God said, you going to wear yourself out and get up and get in that prayer meeting. So I'll be trying to get here now. Them that's going to see, them. Everybody not going to see what God doing. Because we already haven't got our minds made up what we want and what we need. Not what he wants us to have. God bless you, man. This morning, this afternoon, as we get ready to pray, she takes somebody by the hand. Help from the pastors this morning. If you guys can stand across the front. There are things going on in our lives, Lord, that we need you to rectify. But what we need you to do is increase us in our souls and in our spirits, that these problems that we're having don't overwhelm us to the point where we stop giving you your due, and that's praise. Father, this day we thank you right now for you're going to allow them to leave encouraged, uplifted. The word that they've heard is going to sustain them and revelate in their spirit, Father. The enemy that is coming against us, Father, we rebuke him right now in the name of Jesus. We're calling forth life, strength, and joy in the lives of a people that have confidence and trust in you. Lamb of God, in the name of Jesus, strengthen these, Lord God, your children. Let the anointing of God destroy every yoke, whether it be a bondage of any kind, spiritually, physically, or financially. Father, you're going to set the captives free on this morning, for the power of the living God is going to flow like never before. Let the glory of the living God, move by your spirit, Father. Minister through these men and women of God as they lay hands on the sick, Lord God. They shall recover. They lay hands on the discouraged. They shall be encouraged. Father, those that are going through financial difficulties, you're going to bless them and by my shape and give them and meet their needs by your spirit and by your power. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now. You have your way. Lord God, as we glorify you, inhabit the praise of this people, Lord God. Get in the midst
of their circumstance. Get in the midst of their trials. Get in the midst of their affliction. Father, in the name of my Shete, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for having your miraculous way right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We magnify your name right now. Come on and praise him up in here. Hallelujah. As the ministers, as the pastors come, they're going to touch and agree with you. Amen. Open up your hearts. Open up your spirits. Open up your soul and receive what God has for you this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah.